Good morning. Welcome to the instruction period. Yesterday, the instructions focused on the first foundation of mindfulness, mindfulness of the body and mindfulness of form. And in order to do that, we use the breath as our object of attention. We can see the breath and the breathing and all the accompanying sensations just as they are. We can also follow the path of the breath all the way in and all the way out. Sometimes we have an extraordinary sense of the stillness within which the breath and the movement of the breath sits. So our practice can be one of, if you like, just sitting rather steadily and waiting for the very natural arising of the breath, as if it's a caress. It just comes. We don't have to make it come. And then, of course, there's the turning of the breath, that still point where we're neither breathing in nor out. And then the exhalation. And of course, with the exhalation, there can be rather beautiful relaxation on the out breath. It's especially easy to feel it. So we can use the breath itself to calm and tranquilize the body. We use the breathing process and our fine attention and light awareness of that process to just be with the breath and see that when we are completely with it, without wanting to change it or do anything, there's a wonderful sense of calm that can come. And if calmness hasn't come for you, I promise you, if you keep practicing, that sooner or later it will catch up with you. It will come. It will arrive. The second foundation of mindfulness is mindfulness of the feeling world. And this is going to be our focus today. When we bring attention to our direct experience, we notice that we see, hear, smell, taste, touch, and think. This is called contact. With every contact, there's a feeling tone. And that feeling tone, which in Pali is called Vedana, is pleasant or unpleasant or in between. And so in our practice, we're asked to be rather steady in the face of our feeling world and not compelled along by our likes and our dislikes or our attractions or aversions. And we need to see that this process rather naturally unfolds and we can be with it without being caught up in it. So our awareness is a particular kind of awareness, or our mindfulness, if you'd prefer that word. We're aware with a heart and mind of non-clinging, not gripping or holding to anything. In the Anapanasati Sutta, the sutta on mindfulness of breathing or mindfulness with breathing, the Buddha encourages us to cultivate joy, to cultivate contentment. So instead of just being with whatever feeling arises, what he's suggesting is a training of the mind or inclining of the mind to the joy and to the freedom and liberation itself. And so in this section of the sutta, there are four couplets. And the first instruction is, I shall breathe in experiencing joy. I shall breathe out experiencing joy. Oddly enough, there's often a lot of resistance to this practice. That people say, oh, but what about my suffering? Am I not just pretending by feeling joy? The teachings are about liberation from suffering, not remaining stuck in it. And one of the helpful practices is the cultivation of joy. Joy itself has the power to liberate. And of course, joy is an expression of the liberated heart and mind. Joy is one of the factors of awakening, one of the seven factors of awakening. And so it's a very important thing to cultivate and practice. It's even more important for you to cultivate it if you are a person who feels very little joy in your life. And at first, when we start turning to joy, we might not feel anything much. There might be the absence of much sensation in the body that we would normally call joy. But then, of course, if we're very still, we can feel perhaps some tingling or tickling sensations, and even these are the beginning of a sense of joy. And the more we practice cultivating the joy, the more joy comes forth, until we actually realize that there is a natural joy that can just run through the heart and mind, and that this joy is really unproblematic. And not only is it unproblematic, but it brings an extraordinary release from the sorrow and the suffering and the anguish of one's life. So it's a very valuable practice, and I would invite you to take it up. But before we do so, I'll go on and tell you the other three couplets from this section on mindfulness of Vedana, or mindfulness of feelings. The next one is, I shall breathe in experiencing happiness. I shall breathe out experiencing happiness. And the Pali word in the sutta is sukha, which is a not an excited kind of happiness, but contentment. The kind of contentment that we can just touch into, that can be there even if things around us are not perfect, or even if things around us are in many ways problematic. We can touch into a deep contentedness even so. And the next of the couplets is, I shall breathe in experiencing the mental formation. I shall breathe out experiencing the mental formation. So with the breath can come a mental formation, or a thought, or a construction. And our emotions are formed when we add to the pleasant or the unpleasant feeling tone of an experience. We add to it with our beliefs, our thoughts, our projections, our imaginations. So we can see this shift, if you like, from bare attention to the feeling tone of an experience to a mental formation, a thought form coming into being almost, when we pay very fine attention. And the final couplet in that section is again deliberately using the breath to calm or to tranquilize the mental formations. The mental formations are just what goes on in the mind. So this training is one of bringing about some joy, some deep contentment, and some calm. So what we're going to do now is, in a moment, we're actually going to do them. But before that, I would like to say a little bit about how we practice. In this sutta, the Buddha tells us that we need to practice ardently. That means with some enthusiasm. So sometimes we come to a sitting and we think, oh no, another 45 minutes. How am I going to get through this? Or I don't feel like sitting now. So he reminds us that our practice requires some enthusiasm, some energy. We sit with full awareness if we can, fully mindful. He invites us to put aside our covetousness, the English word is. It's not even a common word in English. It means the desire to possess. So we have this movement of the mind that's with us a lot of the time where we want to claim something or possess something as mine. We want to make something ours. And he invites us to, for the moment, put aside that desire and just be with what we experience in our feeling world. He also invites us to put aside grief for the world. And this doesn't mean we shouldn't feel any grief for the world in which there is so much suffering, but to put aside our agitation or angst about it, or our anger about what's happening in the world when we come to sit. So the practice is very much one of being with the sensations, learning to cultivate and explore the world of joy and contentment and calm. So it's a deliberate turning of the heart and mind to peace, to freedom, to liberation. So we're going to take up the first one, if you would, please. And I'd invite you just to sit for 3 or 4 minutes. I'll ring the bell. And then I'm actually going to ask you what you experienced. So if you would, just sitting. And when I read out the instruction, you don't have to say it over and over in your mind, but just to set the intention to breathe in experiencing joy and to breathe out experiencing joy. And then we just watch and see what it is that happens. I shall breathe in experiencing joy. I shall breathe out experiencing joy. So what did you discover? Is there somebody who had a direct experience of joy? Anybody? Yes, would you just come and speak through the microphone though, so that everybody can hear? So just a question. One more question. Beautiful. So this wonderful feeling like the sun of joy. In that experience, what happens to the self? Beautiful, beautiful. So you see, just in a few minutes, we can touch into a deep sense of joy that's like a melting, where we are aware of the infinite possibilities of this life. And in our practice, sometimes we can touch into infinite joy. And this is an extraordinary sense of selfless joy. Anybody else? Any kind of experience? You spoke last night, so anybody else? Yes, come from the back. Hi.
So I didn't actually experience joy during the meditation.
Yes.
But I was actually like a little bit angry during the meditation. I was like feeling mm-hmm. anger.
Yes.
And then I realized right at the end I was angry because the air conditioner right behind me was blowing right on my shoulders. So I just got up and I went and I turned off the air conditioner and I feel so joyful now. Like, I'm so happy.
The other people around you or the managers may not feel so happy. Okay, so your joy, your sense of pleasantness and unpleasantness was totally linked to the conditions around, wasn't it? Sometimes we like something and sometimes we
yes.
don't.
Yes, you're right. It
yes.
was very air conditional.
Yes. Totally. Totally conditioned.
But my meditation on joy led me to the understanding of what needed to happen for me to
yeah.
be joyful.
So, events arise due to causes and conditions. And so dependent upon the conditions, in this case the air conditions, the air conditioner, we have either, we experience pleasant or unpleasant feeling. So, well seen, well described.
Thanks.
Do you have something else you want to say about joy?
I do this meditation sometimes, and it usually does work.
Okay.
It often works for me, not all the time.
Yes, beautiful.
Also, I do like beauty and truth and love and harmony. I use like other...
Indeed, we can use
also.
Other words to check in and shift from the negativity to the peace. This is the practice. Thank you. There was somebody over here, yes? Yes.
To the joy.
Yes.
And negativity.
A okay.
A lot of negativity here, but
mm-hmm.
very localized.
Mm-hmm.
And the joy is here, so I'm smiling. So
okay. Okay. So the practice is one of cultivating and allowing, rather patiently, the joy to expand.
So we need some more.
Oh yes, you need some more practice with this. And we have to be careful that we don't say, I really want to feel joy and I'm not. And because otherwise we get caught up in the very thought, I must feel joy or I want to feel joy prohibits us from doing it. With the negativity that you felt almost at the same time, what do you think would be a wise way of dealing with that?
You wrote me yesterday with kindness and softness.
Exactly, exactly, exactly. So this is the way. This is the way to deal with the pain or tension or contraction of the heart. Then the kindness and the love and the joy become our life, become our experience. And then the difficulties and the negativity and the pain is unsupported. So it just begins to fall away rather naturally and not dominate and color consciousness so much. So please keep smiling. One more, is there one more experience of joy? Yes, come. Yes.
For me, starting from the heart and then feeling like waves that expand.
So the expansion went out and out and out.
Yeah.
Did it have any end?
Well, the gong came, so it
did. Okay, only the gong.
Yes.
But in the moment of feeling the expansion?
No.
No.
I could feel the waves and some heat.
Yes.
Warmth.
Warmth.
And I was very sensational. And then I think just before the gong, there was a thought that came that I'm so happy to be
Ah, oh, okay. So the thought came, I'm so happy to be alive. Wonderful, wonderful. So we can just in a few minutes touch into that expansive joy, which in fact is endless. It's vast, immeasurable, it's boundless. This is boundless joy. There are different kinds of joy. Joy that arises and ceases rather quickly. But sometimes we can touch into a joy that's quite vast. And this joy has the capacity to nourish and rejuvenate and shift our attitude to the whole of life until there's simply great happiness to be alive. Wonderful. Thank you. Yes. Yes, come. Hi.
just to make it a little more difficult or more precise.
Yes.
Hearing people's experiences, it's about, well, the question is about how to awaken or arouse joy.
Yes.
And things that I've picked up from people and from my own experiences are, one is tuning into pleasant sensations.
Yes.
Two is evoking thoughts of gratitude.
Yes.
Or appreciation.
Yes.
And so these could be kind of specific guidelines of things that, but if the, like, there's something abstract about arousing joy, and sometimes joy is absent.
Yes. Yes.
There's, you know, there's pain and difficulty. So, so does it mean those two things that I've mentioned? Tuning into pleasant sensations and thoughts of gratitude, or does it mean another deeper realm of way to arouse joy?
Those two ways you mentioned are in fact wonderful ways to begin to see the joy that's available. But there is also a joy that just naturally arises uncaused, if you like. There is a profound and deep joy, and we can just touch into it when we turn towards it. It involves turning towards it, letting go of everything. That's always the key when we want to discover some of the more refined states of being or the more refined movements of the heart. To be or rest with a heart and mind of non-abiding, so we don't abide or cling anywhere. Yeah. So we don't get even caught up in wanting to feel appreciation or wanting to feel generosity. With generosity, of course, comes joy. Someone gives us a gift, we love to receive it. There's natural joy, or the opposite. Giving is receiving and receiving is giving. There's lots of ways that joy comes. So, but there is also a profound sense of joy that we can touch into when we are just with our direct experience, not holding anywhere or not resting anywhere. This kind of joy is selfless. It occurs when we let go of self. I spoke yesterday about the whole construction of self. And so part of the letting go of self is also letting go of the method of, I want to do this in order to feel that. We can let go sometimes of all of it. Something?
Thank you.
Yeah.
The answer that was really good for me was the joy of letting go of everything.
Yes. Okay.
Yep.
go with that, the joy of letting go of everything.
Yeah, that's helpful.
Yeah, yeah. With letting go, joy just comes. It's such a release. And we know that, but we live life holding on. We live life grasping in all sorts of places. We know where it leads. We know ourselves, but we keep on going down the path of suffering. We keep on going down the same path that leads us to anguish or sorrow or despair or conflict. So this is why the training to joy is so important. So Toma, thank you for your question. It's an excellent question. Yes?
Just one comment.
Yes, come. A brief comment.
Yes, we are, the mind is conditioned to be joyful when we win something.
Yes.
We get a good grade.
Yes.
We get a pleasant feeling.
Yes.
This is like a condition for joy.
Yes.
And I think what we're doing here make a joy conscious in a completely different
yes.
way.
Yes. Yes.
I thought that question was also very
yeah.
brought that.
Yes, it did. Thank you. So, yes, there is joy that naturally comes as a result of a condition, an event that's joyous. But there's also joy that isn't bound up anywhere. And that joy comes when we let go. And it doesn't have to be some earth-shattering bolt of lightning. It can just be the joy of letting go of something simple. And if we start to look, we see there are countless moments of joy in the day. Like even someone who tries to convince me that they feel terribly miserable will have if I explore some moments of joy and freedom in the day. And our practice is one of noticing those things, because they're the moments we don't notice. We notice habitually the problematic because the mind is of the nature to grasp. And the problems are generally highlighted in consciousness. But if we can train our awareness to reveal and notice and see our freedom, then that becomes our life. Why not, I say. Let's do, oh, we can't do one more. It's already 15:15. Okay, so I will leave the others for you to explore. You might like to sit with contentment in the same way. What tends to happen is sometimes there's an inner dialogue where people start to compare joy and contentment and get in a big tangle. The contentment is just a kind of, if you like, a deepening or a refinement of the joy. Sometimes joy can be a little excitable or effusive. You can see that in me sometimes. And then, of course, the joy can also be simply a contentedness, and a contentedness that's deep. And it can be that we're just feeling the absence of any kind of problem. When negativity is absent, there's contentment. So I leave it for you to explore in this way. I do encourage you to take up these specific practices, because I've seen over the years that I've been using this sutta, many, many people have profound awakening moments. And even in the instruction period, believe it or not, that if we just do this practice, even for a few minutes, we can see and understand for ourselves a new way of being in this world and living with great heart in a connected way, but with joy, contentment, and ease. This is the practice. So thank you all for listening. Thank you for your practice. Now there's the groups, and for others if you're in group one with Ron, in room two with me. If you're in group two, you're with me in room 11. If you're not in group one or group two, please do walking meditation practice. Thank you.